American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Friday, March 11th, 2005. And that's right, it's Newsreel, your source for independent media and news that will give you the edge against corporate political tyranny that is trying to enslave you. No matter what they tell you, they are in fact trying to enslave you, and it is not for your own good, it is for their good. We're going to turn into a planet full of slaves unless we can pull out of this particular nosedive we're in. Now, you can read all the news stories along with me that I go over today by going to my LiveJournal, which you can find at the LiveJournal site under users Sean_Kennedy, and you'll know it'll be time to turn the page when you hear me say something like, "One more week of resistance completed," which is very good for us. And we got some feedback that talks about some of the stuff we had going on this week. So enough of my intro. Let's get right on to the show. Some feedback straight off. Dear Sean, hey, it's Tyler, the program director for theboxmusicnetwork.com. I was listening to your conversation about 2012 Square, about the 2012 Scare, and the 2012 Scare, for those of you not paying attention, is that there's like a bunch of different ancient cultures that say everything is going to take a cosmic shit in the year 2012. Apparently it's like December 12th or December 20th or something to that effect, where apparently in December 2012 everything takes a cosmic dump. And the I Ching says it, the Mayan calendar says it, I guess the Hindu culture says it as well. There's a bunch of different stuff that all points to this same scary spot. Anyway, and listening to your conversation about the 2012 scare, and it makes me think of how they once said the world would crash during the Y2K scare in 2000. I think it's just a bunch of crap that they're making up, like the whole Y2K deal. But that's my thought. Keep up the good work, man, Tyler. Well, that's cool. I mean, and it may well be. And what's worse than that is, unlike the Y2K scare, where, you know, there's something you could do about it, you know, there's guys who were made big bucks, huge bucks, just by hanging out at the Y2K, just by being on hand for New Year's. Guys are making triple time and quadruple overtime just to make sure that they'd be there for the year 2000. A lot of guys made big, big dollars in that. So is it something that, you know, I think could happen? Maybe. But unlike Y2K, there's nothing we can do about it. I mean, with Y2K, you know, there was the theory that if the computers all took a crap, if you have your IT guys on hand, everything will be fine. But with 2012, what are you going to do? What are you going to have on hand? Are you going to have, like, the armed forces on standby? For what? You don't even know what's going to happen. You don't know if there's going to be, you know, magnetic pole reversal, if the sun's going to flare and cook the planet, or what the hell the deal is going to be. So you don't know. You just don't know. So it's kind of like, well, regardless, you can't really prepare for something. You don't know what's going to happen, so all you can do is just sort of be sort of ready and then carry on from there. So whether or not it's going to happen or not, it doesn't really affect the logs, because we're in a permanent state of readiness anyway. But I could be along with Tyler. I think it could just be a bunch of crap. Hello all, new piece of feedback here. Hello all, I came across this site by accident, which is, you know what, he was driving and all of a sudden, there's Rant Radio. Anyway, I'm sure it's old news, but you said you'd rather have it more than once than not at all. I cannot thank everyone at Rant Media enough for the service you provide to the world. If you are ever in doubt, my friends, remember, the now mighty Oak was once only a nut who stood his ground, from the Digital Reverend, which is really cool. And he sent me some links and stuff like that, which, you know, I had gotten before, but that's okay. Once again, if you think that, you know, if it's mainstream news, generally I avoid mainstream news, just so you know, like if it's all over Slashdot and if it's all over everything, I'm probably not going to be that interested in it, because it's all, if it's on more than one news source, like if you go to the BBC and you go to CNN and it's all front page stuff, I'm not going to report on it, too. I'm more interested in the stuff that's in the background. But if you think it's background information that I might have, send me the background stuff, because I like that. You know, I mean, that's the stuff that quite often I've gotten stories. People say, you've probably seen this, and I haven't seen it. So it's very, very cool that people, you know, send that out. Hi, Sean. Regarding the story you read about the guy who's facing extradition to the U.S. for raising funds for terrorist groups and potentially the death penalty over here in the U.K. Now, I covered that a couple days ago. Keeping you up to speed, there's a dude that's being faced, and they're going to just, you know, send him off. But apparently, we don't extradite to any country where there's a chance of the death penalty being enforced. I guess it's possible Mr. Chimp, slash George Bush, asks nicely, or threatens, but laws, as it stands, does not allow for. And that's from Sabo, who I believe is over there in Scotland, I'm guessing. But I know he's in the UK. I'm going to bank it's Scotland. I'm pretty sure it is Scotland. So, very, very cool. Glad we got some people on the ground. And I hope they don't extradite the guy. You know, I really don't. I mean, all he is doing is raising money. He hasn't, I guess that's, could be considered breaking the law. The IRA did the same thing. All the Irish were raising money, right? Over here in America to fight against the British, same thing. You know, whether or not that's moral or not, I don't know. But it doesn't seem like raising money is that big of a problem. I mean, it's undesirable, but, you know, if you live in a free society, you shouldn't have to worry about that kind of thing, should you? Or should you? Now, I'm going to get into a sort yourself out here. Which, deleted the email. I've deleted all traces of the email, so no matter what happens, no one can, you know, seize my stuff and, you know, find out who it was that sent me this. But here is the message as I have see fit. Now, once again, I'll sort yourself out. The whole purpose of the show, of the thing, is for people to ask me any kind of question they want for my personal advice. And again, this is just opinion. I'm not saying this is what you should or should not do. This is merely an opinion. And people right now are going, whoa, this must be a good one. All right, here we go. A friend of mine is a teacher and has done as much as he or she can within the situation. So now I turn to someone for some well-needed guidance. This girl, who's 14 years old, wrote a poem about her father coming into the bedroom at night and molesting her. And now he says that he'll hurt her and her mom if she tells. He's been confronted by the local police, and he just denied it all. However, the girl hasn't been at school since the police arrived at the home. I have some connections of my own in the local police department, made a few calls. The case was closed, and in the file, the officer's note of female teenager trying to get back at father for grounding her. Apparently, there's a officer's note of a female teenager was trying to get back at this dad for grounding her. I know your views on these type of people. I was wondering, should I do something to his car or just let things go? I'm in no way tied to this girl in any way, but hearing about this crap pisses me off, let alone in my own town. Thanks. You know, and it gives his name here, which, of course, I've deleted and everything else. And, you know, of course, he never implied to do anything else other than something to his car. So this isn't a threat to anyone's personal safety or anything like that. So, now, this is a hard call. You know, if you wanted to get involved with this, I think that there's, reading in between the lines, what this guy's actually asking me here is, you know, should we, you know, do something to this person because he's a child molester living in my neighborhood. Now, this is, without a doubt, hands down, not even a question, vigilante justice right here. What you're looking at here is a situation where the individual believes that there's a child being molested by a father. And the police have been called in. The police have decreed that the whole thing's bullshit. Now, running on just this email, with the information I have on this email, I would, first of all, before you can, whether or not you should even be involved, I mean, you've taken the choice to be involved. So that's first and foremost. You know, you have to decide whether or not you want to be involved in this kind of a thing. Okay, you've decided you want to be involved. Okay, carry on. Second point is your intelligence good? Okay, you've got to make sure that your intel on the ground is good, that this is not, in fact, the case. Because the cops aren't just going to walk into a child molestation cave. Even the most, you know, hardened cop is going to, you know, check out a child molestation case. I mean, this is just, you know, this is the kind of stuff that people became cops for. So you'd want to make certain that this is actually the case, that the guy isn't telling the truth. Maybe the girl is trying to get back at him for grounding her. I mean, all we have here is a poem. And the girl apparently has gone to the cops and has said that she's not, you know, it was all a lie or something like that. Because I can't imagine the cops would just leave the girl there if, you know, there was a problem. You know, it's obviously, you know, there's a lot of support groups and things set up to make sure that these girls aren't being assaulted. Furthermore, if she is assaulted, there should be some medical evidence of that. Now, to do something to the guy, you've got two choices. You can either do nothing. You know, you can try to gather more evidence, go through the police, you know, which is probably the best way to do it. Or if that's not fast enough for you, you can always, you know, you can either kill the guy or you can not kill the guy. If you do not kill the guy, meaning you blow up his car or something to that effect, you haven't solved anything. You haven't accomplished a single goddamn thing. As a matter of fact, you probably made things worse Because now this guy's going to turn around and take it out on the kid, because he's obviously a piece of shit anyway, if it is true. So, you know, he's now got more stress in his life, which he's going to take out by hammering his daughter. So, option B is you have to kill this guy. Now, if you kill the guy, first of all, that's murder. Anyway, you cut that, it's still murder, whether or not it's a righteous murder or an unrighteous murder or whatever, you're killing people. And that's a pretty dangerous road to go down because, well, you know, then what? You're going to live the rest of your life, you know, with this thing hanging over your head. I mean, it's a really hard call, you know. Are you going to live the rest of your life as some kind of weird vigilante, in which case, you know, you're going to... Vigilante justice is a very, very sketchy, sketchy business. You know, it's not something that should be embarked on lightly, because once you start, you can't really stop. Now, I definitely think that above anything else, you know, if the intel is good, we do have a mechanism in place to deal with this. You know, we do have a law system in place to look after this son of a bitch. And the little girl has got to come forward. So if you've got contacts with the girl or with the family or whatever, or maybe there's, you could set up some surveillance. Maybe if you were to find out for certain that there's some kind of surveillance you could run that shows that this guy's, you know, doing damage or whatever. It's a horrible scenario. I'm aware of that. But you have to be very, very certain. And I don't know what your capabilities are. But you're dealing with this. These are all big boys' rules here, okay? You're talking about some very serious shit. To get involved on a case like this, I mean, this could fuck up your whole life. Now, if you're aware of that, and you're aware of the kind of gambling debts that you're willing to get involved with to help this girl, that's fine. But in the really real world, you know, you have to make certain that you've got your bases covered. If you want to take the guy out, you know, I probably wouldn't even bother doing it now because there's, I mean, I know about it. You know, which is a variable that you don't want. You never tell anyone about something like this if you're going to do it. Not me, not your friends, nobody. You can't tell anyone. You can't write it down anywhere. You have to make sure you have a solid alibi or something because you cannot, like, you really have to get technical about this kind of work. Furthermore, I mean, be real here. We're talking about killing someone. And you can't just go on thoughts and opinions and half-cocked. I mean, violence is a tool that you never want to use when you're angry. You know, it's a tool to accomplish a goal. And if you just go and blow this guy's car up, unless you kill him, you're really accomplishing nothing. And, of course, to kill him is pretty serious. That's some serious shit. You're a killer, then. You're a murderer. So you want to think really hard about what it is that you're going to be doing, why you're doing it, and more than that, okay, you take this guy out. Let's say you go out, you know, you pull a splinter cell and you take him out. Poof, he's gone. He vanishes. Okay, you ditch the body. Everything's done. Now what? You know, the first one's a bitch. Are you going to start, you know, you're going to be neighborhood vigilante guy, or are you going to start, you know, trying to maybe scope in on the next one who's doing this? You know, is this something you want to dedicate the rest of your life to? Because this is major life-changing shit here. You can't just be arbitrarily going around and blowing stuff up. You know, it's not cool. So I would advise that you provide some anonymous tips, if you can provide some anonymous video, or most importantly, you got to get the girl on board, but you have to have confirmation that these acts are occurring. Now, assuming that this is above everything else, if you have confirmation above and beyond everything else I've said, you must have confirmation. If you don't have confirmation, then you're wasting your time. Okay, because it's also, you're not sure. And if you're not sure, then it's useless. But if you are sure, and I don't mean you think you're sure, I mean you've got proof, you've got solid conclusive proof, there's no reason to go kill the guy, because if you have conclusive evidence, you have conclusive proof, then you could put him in jail where he gets, you know, cut up by other prisoners, and it's a lot more, you know, friendly that way, because that way no innocent people get hurt and only, you know, hardened felons cut him up and stuff like that. So, you know, justice gets done on the inside. So, my counsel to you is to not blow the guy up. My counsel to you is to A, get confirmation, B, get evidence, and C, turn it over to the cops. All throughout all three stages of that, you want to keep your name away from the case so you're not associated with it, and have the whole thing done through either Crime Stoppers or some anonymous tip line. Don't phone Crime Stoppers from your house, because I have doubts whether or not Crime Stoppers is in fact anonymous. Because it seems to me that if they can subpoena records from anywhere, they could subpoena records from Crime Stoppers. So that would be my advice on that particular case. Again, this is just merely my opinion. My advice, don't have to listen to me. You know, it's just a thought. And you can carry on from there. Now, on to the news. Apparently, you know, a lot of people may or may not be aware of a company called Blackwater. B But there's an American mercenary company. And mercenaries, and just in case you know you live under a rock, mercenaries are nothing more than thugs that work for corporations for money. They don't have anything they adhere to. They have no guidance laws. These are people with guns paid money to, you know, enforce corporate policy. That's what mercenaries are. And Blackwater, which is a major supplier of mercenaries worldwide, is now been shown to have ties to Halliburton, which is kind of a funny sort of tie-in. I've got that from some military people who I know for a fact have, you know, there's obviously some close connections between Halliburton and Blackwater. So in the news, though, we got the head of a prominent U.S. private military company has proposed an unusual remedy for an overtaxed U.S. military, raising a private force for service in places such as Iraq. Nathan Hodge reports from Washington. Speaking last week at a symposium in Washington, Eric Prince, the CEO and founder of Blackwater USA, which is a Merck company, proposed raising a contractor brigade to supplement regular U.S. military forces, mercenaries working hand-in-hand with our armed forces. There is consternation in the Department of Defense about increasing the permanent size of the Army, said Mr. Prince. We want to add 30,000 people, and they talked about costs anywhere from $3.6 billion to $4 billion. To do that, well, by my math, that comes out to $135,000 per soldier, he said. We could certainly do it cheaper. Well, yes, you could. You could go with Blackwater. And the thing is about Merck, and as people go, yeah, well, that's cool. You know, you got Mercs. Well, unfortunately, when you're on the ground, who do these Mercs answer to? You know, we're talking about the realms of war crimes and stuff like that. Who do you charge the war crimes to at the end? Is the individual soldier responsible for it? And therefore, you know, the man on the ground with the rifle is the one who gets charged with the war crimes? How do you make sure no one's going to go in there and be raping and looting and pillaging? How do you make sure that doesn't happen? I mean, these aren't answering to a country. These aren't people there because, you know, they believe in the righteousness of the cause. These are people there because they believe in the almighty, all-holy dollar. That's why they're there. They're money killers. They're blood hunters, and they're killers. So if you understand that, and you're comfortable with the fact of these, you know, American mercenaries running around, you know, not only now do we have, because no one's going to check to see if they're mercs or if they're U.S. soldiers, they're just going to be American forces. And if they're American mercenary forces, well, you know, we've pretty much crossed the line into the rabid, rabid Nazi South African sort of apartheid soldier military system, which is not a military that I would want to be a part of. You can follow that link and check that out. But Blackwater is a kind of company that, well, I mean, mercenaries on the whole, I've got a couple mercenary stories here because mercenaries on the whole are becoming more and more prevalent in our society. You've got the SAS. They lost 120 guys bailing out to go get to the, is that the cops coming for me? No, just sirens. You've got the SAS bailing to go work in Iraq because they're getting $14,000 a month versus $2,000 a month because, you know, the demand is there. But when you're there, what have you got? You got a guy getting paid big bucks to walk around with a rifle. And more than that, you've got highly trained solos, you know, working on their own, answering to nobody. I mean, this is a very, very dodgy scenario. I mean, this is not, well, where's your command and control on something like this? You know, who does Blackwater answer to? Because bear in mind, these guys aren't like, you know, building a house or something. These are people killing people. Okay, it's a very, very dodgy set of work. Now, some news here on South Africa mercenaries. South Africa, after the United States and Britain, is the third largest supplier of personnel for private military companies operating in Iraq, also called PMCs. South Africa is third behind the United States and Britain. Interesting. According to a recent United Nations report, the number of South Africans in Iraq is estimated between 5 and 10,000. And at least 10 South African-based companies are believed to be involved. These are all private mercenary units. Most of those recruited operate as drivers and bodyguards, protecting supply routes and valuable resources. Yet several hundred South Africans are alleged to have fought alongside the Americans and British in Fallujah and other hotspots. Well, that's a pretty interesting way to, you know, keep America out of the headlines. You know, we hire these private assassins, because that's what they are. They're assassins to go in and do our dirty work for us. Gets the job done, I guess. Members of special police units, such as the South African Police Service's Elite Task Force, who protect senior state officials such as the President Thabo Mbeki, have sought early retirement to join private military companies in Iraq. The most heavily recruited South Africans are those with backgrounds in the elite apartheid-era special forces, such as the Civil Cooperation Bureau, the CCB, and the 32 Buffalo Battalion, the Parachute Brigade, Reaction Unit 9, the Reconnaissance Commandos, Koivet, and Vlakpass. Many received amnesty from the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. This fact emerged in January when a bomb in Baghdad killed Francois Steerdome and maimed Dion Gauz. So you got to look at this and go, okay, now we've got these private mercs running around the world blowing shit up. Now, realistically, nothing new there. Nothing new there. You know, I mean, we are at war right now. Whether or not how we got at war is a totally different kettle of fish. We are at war right now. Now, the guys doing this, it is all above board, more or less. I mean, no one's being forced to join this army. These guys are mercenaries who believe in, you know, the dollar. They've got their own personal spiritual beliefs that enable them to, you know, take money to go and support these corporations. You know, anybody who tries to attack them, they kill. I mean, it's pretty straight-up work when you think about it. They actually do the same thing that the army does, only they do it for private. So I can't really, you know, it's a style of work that a lot of people may not agree with, but it is necessary to a certain degree. I mean, I'd rather see people who chose that profession than some kid be drafted and sent over to some, you know, foreign country to get his ass shot off when he had no desire to be there in the first place. So when you look at something like the mercenary unit here and say, yeah, okay, they're hired assassins and they're hardened killers. All right, great. We don't like these hardened assassin killers going over there to commit war crimes. Okay, who do you want over there committing war crimes then? Well, we don't want any war crimes. Well, the concept of the war crime is kind of hilarious anyway, because you know what? The first thing that happens in any war is the rules go right out the window because you're out there with knives and sticks and guns trying to kill each other. So trying to put rules on that is sort of asinine. You know, the Geneva Convention is a nice document, and when it comes to things like torture and everything, it'd be really nice if everyone followed it, but nobody does. Really, no one does follow it. And, you know, the rest of the world would like to say, no, we have the Geneva Convention here to make sure there are rules in war. But what everyone fails to realize, of course, all those rules go straight out the window. This is all stuff we do. We did the Geneva Convention to make ourselves feel better about war. You know, as though there's some sort of rules and it's not, we're not really, you know, this savage warlike race that we pretend not to be. But in fact, we quite clearly are. I mean, we're over there, we're killing people for oil, for resources, which every war has always been fought over oil and resources. So it's a nasty, messy, fucking shitty scenario. War is horrible, no matter how you cut it. But given my druthers, you know, I might be changing gears on you a little bit here, but you've got these assassins going over there to do the dirty work for the United States, right? I mean, these people are being paid by these large companies. So I'd rather see private contractors go in and work for these corporations than I would the U.S. military. The U.S. military is supposed to be there to protect the United States, right? Now, on that angle, you know, it's not really a war against the United States, then, is it? It's then a war against this private corporation who's running their own private armies. And at that stage of the game, well, you know, if suicide bombers want to take out private corporations, I mean, they're kind of off the leash, aren't they? Because it's private, then. The whole thing is a private. It almost turns into a core political war. So do I think there should be private military companies? Do I think these mercenary companies should be in existence? Well, it's unfortunate, but I don't think there's any avoiding it. I mean, this is one of the oldest professions in the world, between this and being a hooker. So, I mean, you trace this back, goes back in, you know, feudal Japan, goes back even farther than that. You're always going to have your muscle men. And there's really no way around it, I don't think. So is it unfortunate? Yes, it is. But I think it is something that we cannot be avoided. So the only thing we can try to do is maybe see that, try to prevent the really horrible, horrible, nasty torture scenarios. Make sure these Halliburton and companies like don't set up death camps for ethnic cleansing and stuff. But if they're just using these guys for protection, well, you know, what's your alternative? You know, what's the alternative plan for people who scream out terrible and says, yeah, it's horrible. Yeah, you're right, it is horrible. But the world is a big, nasty, scary place. So what are we going to do about it? What is option B? Now, in other news, you know, everyone knows that you need to have virus protection if you're online. Pretty much you have to have it, unless you're running some operating system that no one else runs. Even still, you got to make sure you've got virus protection. But now it seems that security vendors are divided as to whether several virus writers are working together and sharing information. That's pretty organized when you've got a team of virus writers trying to, you know, produce viruses that work together. After investigating recent bagel outbreak, Kaspersky Lab virus analysts concluded that authors of Bagel, Zaffe, and Netsky are working hand in hand. The analysis substantiate their statement by pointing to a malicious program that harvests email addresses from infected machines called Spam Tool Win32Small.B, which first detected on 15th of February. According to Kaspersky, further analysis reveals the mass mail of this program was a preliminary stage in the attack carried out by Bagel on 1 of March. In researching the Bagel outbreak, virus analysts have concluded the authors of Bagel, Zaffe, and Netsky, as well as others, are working closely together. They may not be personally known to each other, but they're all using information provided by the author of Bagel to mass mail their creations. In a space of 2 days, approximately 50 modifications of a range of malicious programs were mass mailed. The timing of these mailings clearly shows they're automated or semi-automated, says the company. These recent events confirm the trends towards criminalization of the internet. And likely, as not, events will continue to evolve in such a way. Networkers' attacks are now automated, taking place at several stages and carefully timed and planned. The authors of malicious code are joining forces, exchanging information and techniques in order to increase the impact of attacks, says Kaspersky. Well, that's all great. You know, they talk about this and they're vilifying the internet and how dangerous it is and the virus writers and everything. But I ask you, who profits from this? Who profits? Who in the big picture of this profits from this particular stage of thing? These multiple viruses. Who profits from these viruses? The virus writers? No, there's no profit to be had. They just fuck shit up. And like it or not, these guys writing these incredibly advanced viruses, they know they're just fucking shit up. There is no, you know, profit in that. And they're risking huge. For what? For notoriety? No, because they're known as assholes. Nobody likes virus writers. Who likes a virus writer? Nobody does. They're shitheads. Not even hackers think they're cool. Nobody thinks they're cool. So what's their gain? Why did they do it? I don't know. Well, that's not an answer. There needs to be a reason why these people write these viruses. Now, if I open a shop in a town and someone comes into my town and says, hey, hi there, I'm, McAfee. You know, you better pay me some money, otherwise, you know, bad things could happen. Now go kiss my ass, McAfee. Well, next week my house burns down, and then up shows McAfee, and hey, I see your house burned down. You should probably pay me some money for protection. Is it so hard to believe that maybe these antivirus companies like Norton, like McAfee, like F-Secure, all these guys, maybe they're putting the viruses out? Is that why, you know, 12 hours after detection they got the cure? Am I the only person who thinks this? Is there any investigation been done into this? Because realistically, who profits from these viruses? Well, obviously, the antivirus companies do. They get their name in the news because they're the ones who found it, la la la. Now, I don't mean to be all conspiracy theory here, but don't try to come to me with rose-colored glasses there, Pollyanna, and say that, oh no, that's impossible, because it's been done before. And after all, we're talking about business, right? And we're talking about extortion is what we're talking about. Good luck trying to prove that shit. But it makes you wonder, I mean, realistically, who profits from these virus writers? Follow the money and you'll generally find out who's responsible. Sort of a personal guideline. Now, you want to talk about fucking weird. How about this story here? Secret of Nim Much. This is a story that just freaks me out. It will look like any other ordinary mouse, but America's scientists, a tiny animal threatens to ignite a profound ethical dilemma for these American scientists. In one of the most controversial scientific projects ever conceived, a group of university researchers in California's Silicon Valley is preparing to create a mouse whose brain will be composed entirely of human cells. Researchers at Stanford University have already succeeded in breeding mice with brains that are 1% human cells. Human brains in mice. In the next stage, they plan to use stem cells from aborted fetuses to create animal brain cells that are 100% human. Oh, I bet you the religious right's going to love that. Professor Irving Weissman, who heads the university's Institute of Cancer/Stem Cell Biology, believes that the mice could produce a breakthrough in understanding of how stem cells might lead to a cure for diseases such as Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. The group is waiting for a key American government sponsored report due this month that will decide just how much science can blur the distinction between man and beast. Last week, however, the University Ethics Committee approved the research under certain conditions. Professor Henry Greeley, the head of the committee, said, if the mouse shows human-like behaviors, like improved memory or problem-solving, it's time to stop. He accepted that the project might seem a little creepy, end quote, but insisted it's not going to get up and say, "Hi, I'm Mickey. Our brains are far more complicated." Just after that, he grabbed the side of his head and he screams, "Hey, I got an idea. Let's make slaves out of the apes." Anyway, no, I'm making that last part up. He didn't actually do that. Mind you, he should have. You know, realistically, okay, if we start doing this, you know, if that's okay and we can make intelligent mice for research, I've oftentimes wondered, since we're fucking around with genetics anyway, why aren't they taking, like, you know, these genetics and heightening intelligences and stuff like that? We start, you know, how long before we start fucking with the primates? Maybe that's how we showed up in the first place. A bunch of aliens show up, go, "Hey, look at these primates. Let's soup them up. Let's soup them up and see where they go." So maybe, you know, we'll wind up going to the apes and kind of altering their, you know, sort of brain patterns. And suddenly we've got a nation of slaves. Why not? Would that be so unethical? Surely not any more unethical than it is to, you know, be eating meat. I mean, if we've got these feedlots and we're enslaving animals of the world because we're the dominant species, you know, because that's what we're doing. I mean, cut the shit. We're already doing that. Why not just, you know, increase the brain power of apes and enslave them? No more labor. Hell, we could make bioweapons out of them. We could take, like, you know, a gorilla, cross it with a pit bull, and, you know, use them as bioweapons. Have them stationed on the ground. That way we don't even have to hire mercenaries to go overseas. We just send over these completely disposable animals that will destroy everything in their path. I mean, you know, can you give me a reason why not to do that? Well, it's unethical. Noted. Noted the unethics, but the last thing in the world that anybody cares about, I guess, is ethics. Ethics and morality, right? Because it's all relative, right? I mean, am I right here or what? I mean, you know, there's those who would argue that, you know, even pedophilia is okay under certain circumstances. It's a sickness. It's not their fault. Well, you know, well, let's just take it one step further. You know what? Well, if you're not going to have any ethical grounds, then don't... You can't have ethics on one thing and then claim not to have ethics on anything else. You know, ethically, it seems to me that if, you know, you don't want to do this with the animals, then you should probably draw a line somewhere as to why not exploit these animals all the way. We're already... You know, you can't look at feedlots and things like that and tell me that those are any less ethical than what we're already doing with some animals. And animals are animals, right? Pigs are highly intelligent creatures. So, you know, they're at least as intelligent as probably your primates. So, you know, who cares anyway? So what if they're smart? So what if they're smart chips? Who gives a shit? You know, they're not people. We're the dominant species. Let's just, you know, soup up their brains and send them into combat. Cybernetic apes ripping people apart overseas because they don't have the technology. Well, that's what you get when you have unethical, you know, science. That's what you got to worry about. And, of course, if we're just following the dollar, that's probably a cheaper way to do it. And think of the joys we could have with that research. I think I'm going to be sick. And way to confirm things, Apple. Rumor site, Think Secret, isn't rolling over in the face of legal pressure from an irate Apple computers. Now, this is funny because these guys are just, they're a rumor site, okay? They post rumors. But then Apple Computers hits them hard. The small web publication, which is being sued by Apple for allegedly revealing trade secrets. So now not only have you given these guys huge press, you've confirmed that what's on their site is correct. Filed a special motion Friday asking the case be thrown out of court. Think Secret asked judges to dismiss Apple's lawsuit against it, arguing the suit is a rotten attempt to stifle free speech rights, which obviously it is. Apple filed suit against Think Secret on January 5th, alleging that the website's articles, which disclosed the price and features of the Mac Mini, and ran just days before the machine was announced to Macworld, violated trade secret laws and undermined the company's official announcement. Think Secret, run by 19-year-old Harvard University undergrad Nicholas Nemsorelli, under the name of Nick DePlume, thanks for fucking outing him there, guys, filed a motion in California Supreme Court in Santa Clara County on Friday, saying that Apple's lawsuit was without merit and simply an attempt to stifle the site's reporting by burdening it with legal fees. And being burdened by it, it is. Think Secret is being targeted by Apple lawyers in another case. Using a different legal strategy, Apple is suing unknown employees for leaking information on online sources to Think Secret, PowerPage, and Apple Insider about Asteroid, a yet unreleased product, the site said, that would allow musical instruments to be plugged in directly to an Apple computer. To track down the leaks, Apple is subpoenaing the email records of the news sites through the ISPs. The judge in that case is expected to issue a written decision early this week. I oftentimes wonder why these sites just don't bother keeping records. Like, sorry, we didn't keep records. What? Are you legally obligated to keep email logs? Are you legally obligated to do that? Because personally, I'd just be like, no, I dumped them. They're destroyed. There is no more logs. Well, you're going to jail now. For what? Destroying information that was mine? Kiss my ass. For erasing tracks? I haven't committed a crime. All I've done is just removed all data. I don't keep any records for precisely this reason. So I won't be bothered by it. It doesn't seem to me that records help you. It seems that they help everyone else. They help the government fuck you over. So why even keep records to begin with? Why even have an internet search history? If you can't remember where your bookmarks are, then what the fuck's the point? Just seems to me. Now, I know there's going to be a lot of people who are ripping on me about this here. I know there's going to be people going, well, Sean, you know, you have to... You know, on one hand, everybody's really quick to say, oh, no, you know, we can't have these people submitting records and privacy, blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, you know, how do, you know, the left come up with, deal with the concerns that the right has? You know, you've got the right-wing warhawk types who are like, well, you know, we're going to use private mercs and we're going to, you know, genetically engineer monkeys and stuff like that to become war machines. And we're going to, you know, breed animals so that we can do research for humans and animal research and all that kind of stuff, right? Well, then you got the left over there saying that all animal research is evil, animal experimentation is bad, everyone should be a vegetarian, blah, blah, blah. But is that realistic? Is that feasible? Can that be put into practice? And I don't just mean on paper, I just mean all over the world. You know, there is a chance out there, people, that we are humans, the human race, the planet Earth. There is a chance that we are simply a warlike, savage bunch of fuckers. Kind of like, you know, being vampires. You know, no one wants to be a vampire. But, you know, if you became a vampire, that's what you are. I put it to you that maybe all this shit, which has gone on for thousands of years, okay, with humans, and I get it every day in the mail. Maybe, just a thought, Aram, you can email me and tell me what you think about this, because I'm looking at this news. It's pretty obvious. I mean, we're doing animal experimentation, and we're doing all sorts of crazy shit. I wonder, you know... Is it possible that humans are not evil because of the things we do? Maybe it's just that we do the things we do because humans are, in fact, fucking evil. I mean, we're just nasty, nasty, warlike, vicious motherfuckers. And when we accept ourselves as that, maybe, you know, we'd be able to get somewhere and actually get something done. Because beyond that, it seems like everything just seems to run around in little circles. There's been resistance for a long time, and I'm not into, you know, going out and just destroying the world. That's not my thing, but it seems to me that the whole reason why, you know, the kumbaya vegan crowd hasn't really gotten anywhere is because no one's willing to take a stand. They can't affect reality because, well, you know, now things are starting to go the other way with direct action and stuff, and that's something to look at. But, you know, you look at the way the world is, you know, you got these the Think Secret getting slapped around. By this, by Apple, you know, it's a question of money. He who has the power. Think Secret can't stand up to Apple. It's a 19-year-old undergrad. You know, he hasn't even got his own income yet. What's he going to do? He's going to run off of donations from the sites? Yeah, sure, I can do that. Even I've got a part-time job, you know? If it wasn't for the fact that my wife has a good job, forget it. I'd be off the air. So you got to think, you know, where is our backing? You know, how's this guy at Think Secret going to stand up for what he believes to be free speech? How's he going to stand up for that? Well, are we all going to back him up? Is there any leverage that this kid has at all other than the Constitution? No, I don't think so. You know, we have to either decide one way or the other that we're either going to enforce the Constitution, which means enforcement, which may mean violence, or we're just going to throw the fucking document out. Because it is, as it is right now, I mean, we've got, you know, there's huge, like, ethical issues everywhere. Every single story I report is practically a massive ethical issue. And unless we come up with a solution, all we're doing is being a bunch of fucking whiners. So what are the solutions here? You know, I don't think that Think Secret should be shut down. Don't think for a minute I should. You know, why should it be shut down? Because they post rumors? Well, that's slander, blah, blah, blah. Well, you can't affect the slander laws, and suddenly it turns into legalese and a big dialogue and blah, blah, round and round we go. Constant circles. There's got to be a solution to this. There has to be, somewhere. Fucking annoying. Now, Russia has just drilled the largest type of cash well you can imagine. A Russian website offering MP3 tracks for sale has been cleared of breaching copyright law. Last month, International Federation of Phonographic Industries, IFPI, urged Russian authorities to take action against AllOfMP3.com. It's called AllOfMP3.com. But Moscow prosecutors will not take legal action because Russian copyright laws do not cover digital media, according to the news agency TASS. The IFPI said it would fight the ruling of TASS report if the TASS report was correct. In a posting on its website of All MP3, said the service was legal and it is licensed to sell the MP3 tracks by the Russian Multimedia and Internet Society. Okay, if they make piracy illegal in Russia, wow, did they ever just create a new media industry for them? But the IFPI said that the site was unlicensed to distribute our members' repertoire inside of Russia and in all major markets. Well, according to TASS, the prosecutors have decided not to pursue with legal action because Russian copyright laws only cover physical media, such as CDs or DVDs, and not digital files, such as MP3s. Wow. Imagine the download server we could run in Russia, Sim. Let's get a Russian server. Any Russians downloading this? Hey, anybody? On Newsreel, anybody over there got that? You know, just out of curiosity. If I'm going to keep on broadcasting and trying to make up our minds here about where we're going to go for survival, maybe it might be to our advantage to have ourselves a little Russian bunker server. Sounds like a plan to me. However, they have stated, if it is true that the prosecutors have not taken this case, this would be a very disappointing considering the blatant and large-scale infringement that it continues to take place. This is what a spokeswoman for the IFPI said. We have received no confirmation of any decision, and we do not expect it for some time. If these reports are confirmed, we will take the case further. I wonder if the MPAA and the RIAA would go so far as to have their own little dirty tricks team. Realistically, I mean, after all, you got Halliburton with Blackwater, right? They're going over there to protect oil. Why not have black ops operatives going over to Russia, taking out servers, corporately sponsored hackers? If you allow the mercs, then why not have private intelligence? Let's take industrial espionage one step further. You know, we'll take away all the firearms from, you know, the serfs, the peasants who work in the country. We'll make it okay for private corporations to have private armies that back their stuff, you know. Then we'll have hit squads and offensive. Gives a whole new meaning to hostile takeover, doesn't it? I mean, really? Anyone else seem to think that maybe these corporations are getting just a little bit too much power? Where, you know, they're able to apply leverage to Russia? The entertainment industry shouldn't really be able to go to war with our Cold War adversary, should they? I mean, just sort of a thought here. Is anyone else cluing into the fact of how much power these corporations have? With a blink of their eye, they've got medical research, they've got genetically modified animals, they got private armies. Jesus Christ! How did this happen? More importantly, how do we fix it? Well, it sure isn't going to come through legal channels, I'll tell you that, because they've got their kung fu way too mighty in those areas. Maybe the answer lies in the next story. We got another story about hacked databases. Hackers have gained access to personal information about 32,000 U.S. citizens on databases owned and published by Reed Elsevier. Elsevier? That's it. The second company to reveal a major breach in the last month. Now, you can bank that they got a shitload more than 32,000. So, you know, you should probably be keeping track of your own credit rating. The FBI and Secret Service arm of the U.S. Treasury Department, a department which, incidentally, the U.S. Treasury Department, what do? They don't issue money. I guess they collect taxes and they make sure that the Federal Reserve, which is a privately owned company, again, they answer to a private company. So you've got a, you know, governmental institution, the U.S. Treasury Department, answering to the Federal Reserve, a private company. How does that work? Actually, I believe that goes against the Constitution. The entire Federal Reserve is actually unconstitutional. But anyway. So it seems that the Secret Service arm of the U.S. Treasury Department is investigating, a company representative said Wednesday. Anglo-Dutch publisher Reed Elsevier said the breach at the Sensint unit was found after a customer's billing complaint last week led to discovery that an identity password had been misappropriated. Misappropriated. Good word. How about stolen? The information accessed included names, addresses, social security, and driver's license numbers, but not credit history, medical records, or financial information. Well, who gives a shit? Because once you have the other ones, you can get everything else. Sizint, based in Boca Raton, Florida, collects data from governmental agencies, building large databases and ways to extract information from them. Reed Elsevier said it has contacted the 32,000 people affected and offering them credit monitoring and other support to detect any identity theft. Wow, did their lives just get more complex. Law enforcement officials have asked us to keep all this information close because they're hoping to catch up with some of these people, the representative said. Good fucking luck, pal. You couldn't even tell what they got in. You couldn't tell they took the shit. It wasn't until somebody said, hey, my shit's gone, that you went, oh, there's a problem. You're not going to catch fuck all. The problem of identity theft, where criminals run up charges using stolen personal information, has cost companies and individuals billions of dollars, prompting new government legislation and a widespread resolve to protect consumers. They don't give a fuck about consumers. They're worried about the credit card companies being stuck with the bill. Many of Sisyant's customers are law enforcement agencies and financial institutions. There are advantages to attacking those kind of companies because the information is quite valuable, said Paul Breachy, an IT security specialist who simulates hacker technique for the U.S. defense group Quintic. As the value of what you try to steal increases, so does the effort the bad guys will put into it, he said. The bad guys. They're thieves. Thieves trying to get information. Now, there's nothing wrong with having the skills. It's when you use the skills. It's like learning about hacking doesn't make you a criminal. It's like being a gun owner doesn't make you a criminal. Just because I have a fully automatic weapon does not mean that I'm going out and shooting people. It just means that I like having a fully automatic weapon. This is what freedom is all about. But, of course, we're trying to lose more freedom with web censorship, the subject of the next story. The federal government is working to introduce hefty fines for people who promote suicide on the internet. Well, on the upside, at least my suicide rant, I won't be nailed under that one. You know, but Sean didn't say kill people. Kill yourself. You're not supposed to kill yourself. So that's a plus, right? I'm not encouraging suicide. Under legislation to be introduced this week, the corporations will be fined up to $500,000 and individuals $100,000 if they use the internet to incite or promote suicide methods. Okay. Justice Minister Chris Ellison says the law will not apply to euthanasia sites and will not hinder free speech. No, not at all. We put into legislation that a person is not guilty of an offense merely because a person is engaged in public discussion and debate about euthanasia. The minister admits that the law will be difficult to enforce, but says it will help protect vulnerable individuals. Music. There are sites like this. We've seen them in Japan and the United States. In February this year, the United States foiled a Valentine's Day mass suicide pact with up to 32 people planning to kill themselves, he said. Well, no one's actually done it yet, though. They foiled the pact. If I decided to kill myself, ain't fuck all gonna foil that. Okay, I'll be dead 20 minutes later. Think about it. You know, we all sit around and think, if I was gonna do myself, how would I do it? People do that. Maybe they put it online. But that doesn't mean that they're encouraging suicide. If you read, go kill yourself online, you're not gonna go do it. This is the same thing they did with music. Only now they're trying to put legislation through. Where does it stop? Eventually, you know, is this gonna start filtering back down so that the tipper stickers and the Marilyn Mansons of the world who get the tipper stickers... Pretty soon the music that encourages suicide, and then, you know, it starts from there. Slippery slopes. And in good news, the world might, in fact, end. The eruption of a supervolcano, sooner or later, will chill the planet and threaten human civilization, British scientists warned Tuesday. And for the bad news, there's not much anyone can do about it, which, again, doesn't really bother me that much. Several volcanoes around the world are capable of gigantic eruptions, unlike anything witnessed in recorded history. Based on geological evidence of past events, the scientists said such eruptions would dwarf those of Mount St. Helens, Krakatoa, Pinatubo, and anything else that going back dozens of millennia. Super eruptions are up to hundreds of times larger than these, said Stephen Self of the United Kingdom's Open University. An area the size of North America can be devastated, and pronounced deterioration of global climate would be expected for the next few years following the eruption. This is the equivalency of a nuclear winter brought about by volcanoes. Self said supplies and mass starvation would be in effect. These effects could be sufficiently severe to threaten the fabric of civilization. Yeah, well, I put it to you, if you take out North America, there goes a huge fucking chunk of civilization. Self and his colleagues at the Geological Society of London presented their report to the UK Government Natural Hazard Working Group. Although these very rare events are inevitable, and at some point in the future, humans will be faced with dealing and surviving a super eruption. Now, the problem here is that, you see, Yellowstone National Park is on its lead up to a, bit of an eruption here. If that one goes, half the United States would be covered in 3 feet of ash. All right? Now, apparently, in Yellowstone, a super eruption happens, it's supposed to happen, according to geological reports, once every 600,000 years. Well, it's been 620,000 years since the last eruption, so, you know, you can take from that what you want. Again, there's not much we can do about it, but it makes you go, Another story about bullshit killer cell phones for kids. They're coming out with these phones that what they do is you pre-program them so that, you know, the kids get, you can only phone the kids or the kids phone someone else, but they're designed for preteens. I've got control, one parent, Chapman, said. The phone is available through the new Suncom Wireless in the Southeast, In May, parents elsewhere can buy it on the web from Firefly, fireflymobile.com, for about $100, including 30 minutes of talk time. The phones will be available at Target, but the price isn't set. Mattel is partnering with Singletouch, plans to introduce a Barbie cell phone this summer for girls 8 to 14. Now, they know that the radiation from these cell phones is cooking people. They know that it's bad for kids, yet they're still pushing out these phones to fuck up kids' heads. It's not enough that we, you know, just completely bake their brains with drugs. We've got to do it with radiation from cell phones as well. Lots of ethics. Lots of ethics to do the news. Today's Daily Hack is talking a lot about ethics, too. You know Forbes, big financial company Forbes? Well, they've got their list of the 10 corporate hate sites. That's the sites that they consider to be the top 10 corporate hate sites. Now, if you go check these sites out, they're pretty snide. They're not actually really good corporate hate sites. But I put it to you that it's important to know what Forbes thinks. Because if you know what they know by reading what they read, you get an edge. You must think like your enemy. And once you understand the nature of the enemy, you know what it's capable of. We have to stay on top of this. Noam Chomsky was the guy who turned me on to reading all the business literature. That's where you get the good stuff. That's where you're reading, quote-unquote, the enemy's intel. We need to follow that. And we need to make some firm and hard decisions about where we actually stand. And what would it take to get us to move into, shall we say, direct action? What would it take to do that? Those are pretty strong words, Sean. Yeah, well, there it is. You know, are we all just whining and bitching here, or are we going to do something about it? Because if we are, I think we should get busy. That's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back on Monday to make sure you get the information you need to stay alive. Sim will be back on Sunday, which will be really nice. I'm looking forward to getting him back around so we can get back to doing some filming. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of Anonymous, Topek, Jesse, The Gray Ghost, Drake, Anthony, Robert, Dual Parallel, Anonymous, Michael, Andrea, Derek, Jesse, Susan, Eric, Tech Freak, Keith, Malcolm, Peter, Forleet, Timor, Peter, Plasmonic Grid, Christopher, Rosalie, Richard, Matt, Greg, WebLife, Evan, David, Brian, Austin, Brian, Jonathan, Adam, Host Mojo, Mainframe, Mark, Jonathan, Trevor, Brandon, Helgon, Art, Darmude, Brandon, Justin, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Anonymous, Jason, and the new subscribers this month were Kevin, Steve, Philip, Steve, Charles, Matt, Brandon, Kevin, and Mark. Thank you so much for your donations, and if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca. Special thanks to some hard netrunners who are bringing us this data so we can make a firm decision on where we're going. Astrofix, Sylvanus, PolySci, Ricky Rocket, Foulware, Psychofish, No Delete, Bonsai Poppy, RU, Valerian, Duel, Winati, Blitzkong, Madar, and Scarred One. No more digital baptisms today, but that's okay. If you would like a digital baptism, please get in touch with me and I'll set you up. Upcoming events? None. But if you know of some upcoming events that are major, major things all across that, you know, WOG's are going to be at, please let me know, and we'll see if we can get that out over the air. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any of their pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure that you check out the album by Machines of Loving Grace, Concentration. It came out in 1993. So until tomorrow, well, until Monday, that's what server said. End of line.
This is AFBN, serving the American fighting man 24 hours a day from the Delta to the DMZ. With transmitters in Quang Tri, Da Nang, Quy Nhon, Quy Khu, and Nha Trang. With the Key Network station in Saigon, Vietnam.
that will clutch you like quicksand.